Empower Radio presents Art as Worship with Vanessa Lowry.
Welcome to Art as Worship. Each week we feature stories of artists and explore their process of creation. I'm your host, Vanessa Lowry, and I'm thankful that you're joining me. On this show, I talk with artists of various faiths, working in a wide range of mediums, on the common theme of how they use inspiration and creativity as an expression of their spirituality. Learn how their art is an expression of their own connection to however they name God, Jehovah, Allah, Source, the universe, the great mystery, or something else. My hope is that these stories will inspire your creative efforts and your own spiritual expression. My guest today is Dixie Speck. She's a landscape designer and president and CEO of Solterra Landscape. For Dixie, plants and landscaping aren't just a business, but an obsession. Her passion led her to leave a career in the engineering field, move to Atlanta, receive training in landscape design and horticulture, and start a landscaping business. Solterra has gained a reputation for delighting their customers both in creating beautiful, distinctive landscapes and providing excellent maintenance service. Solterra customers know that they can request special services and it will always be accommodated. Solterra clients are looking for more, particularly more quality and more communication. Dixie and her Solterra team have won local and national awards for landscape design. Dixie's taught classes on landscape design for Emory University's continuing education program and is regularly asked to speak at garden clubs and other industry events. She appeared as a guest designer for several episodes of HGTV's Landscape Solutions. Dixie serves as an expert resource for Atlanta Home Improvement Magazine and is on the board of directors for the Georgia Urban Ag Council. Welcome, Dixie.
Thank you.
It's so nice to have you here, and I've known Dixie for a long time, and she's actually one of my clients. I designed the Solterra Landscape logo, and so it's been fun to see how this business started and then where it's grown and, you know, all the ways that you've expanded. So I'm glad that you're here today to talk to us.
Yes, and thank you, over and over again for the logo. It's become very recognizable.
It has, and it's, you know, describe to our listeners where the name Solterra came from.
I think you helped me play with that name also.
I remember us talking about names.
So I think you gave me the exercise of writing down several words, names, even Latin words, since we're in the botanical industry, and to see if something pops out, and then even start playing with portions of words put together, different words. So I had written down sol as a Latin word for sun. And at the time, terra started becoming a popular word for meaning earth-friendly or something like terra restaurants and things like that. And so I played with the word Solterra together because meaning, you know, we need sun, the plants need sun, and they also need good dirt, good earth. So putting the two together came up with Solterra, and it seemed to just roll off the tongue.
Well, and it's a great name, and we incorporated both the green of the earth and the gold of the sun into the logo, and so it's a very distinctive logo too.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I get so many compliments.
Well, and Dixie, I know that you started out in engineering, which seems like a complete shift from what you're doing now. So, were you always interested in plants and organizing plants to make a beautiful landscape, or was that something that came later in your life?
You know, I was always very interested in plants, and it's interesting how people have said that sometimes you come back to what you loved as a child, and it's so true because I remember distinctively the excitement of going to like Kmart or the grocery store with my mom and getting to pick out little house plants. And I didn't always just, you know, look for ones that had flowers. I loved all the distinct textures and designs and patterns in the leaves and in the plants. So I had my whole bedroom windows just lined with plants all the time. And I grew up very much an outdoor person, loved playing outdoors. I grew up in Tennessee at the foothills of the Smoky Mountains, and so that's a very big part of me. But I went into engineering because I also found out while in school that I really loved math. And it was like putting a puzzle together, and it was fun. And I wanted to, you know, make good money. So I had mentors and parents, friends suggest I go into engineering. So I went to University of Tennessee into electrical engineering and did that for 12 years. And I did enjoy it, but I got tired of the corporate environment and got tired of being inside of a building all day long.
So how did you make the shift once you were tired of engineering? How did you decide that going back to school and learning everything there is to know about landscaping and how to design landscape, how did that idea come about?
Well, when I've got my first house, then I had a property and a yard that needed to be taken care of. And since I love plants and outdoors, I decided that I'd learn whatever I needed to try to work on this yard and make it a nice yard. Well, I started getting lots of books, and so gardening books. So over time, it became my, not only did I learn a lot, but it became my way of stress relief from my job in engineering. It was customer support, technical support, and you can imagine those jobs can be real stressful. So that was coming home and working in my yard on the weekends, going picking out new plants at the nursery and stuff. That was my stress relief. So that had become my obsession, as I said. And then when I decided I wanted to have my own business and wanted to leave the corporate environment, I was talking with the coach. Personal coaches had just kind of come on the scene, or at least a lot of publicity about them. So I hired a coach, moved here. My husband and I moved here to Atlanta to be near family. And in the process of trying to decide what to do next, she said, well, you keep talking about the outdoors and you picked up a new book today on plants and you were just, you know, so enamored with all these different varieties. And so why don't you think about landscaping or design? I said, because I don't think you can make a good income from that. They said, well, look around, you're in Atlanta now. I'm like, well, yeah, you're right. So I pursued it, found out what was a good program to go to, and went to Gwinnett Tech for their horticulture program and landscape design, and then got my business going. Fortunate to meet some of the right people, you know, when I first got going, and developed a thriving business.
Well, it's interesting when I've been talking to artists as part of this radio show that there's so many artists that are inspired by nature. Mm-hmm. So how has that affected the way that you do your work, that working with plants and being inspired by nature?
Well, the what I feel like we're able to do with the landscape is that it's not what you would normally see in nature, and happy accidents, as they say, which I do really pay attention to in nature, what works well together and what seems to complement each other in something that was not designed. But I feel very fortunate that I'm working with God's gift of all these gorgeous plants. And every time I look at detail of another plant or a flower or a leaf, it just amazes me, you know, that this comes from nature. It wasn't, you know, someone sitting down with, you know, with a pen and paper and pencil and, you know, creating it and then making it out of other material. It just happens in nature. So I really pay attention to all those little details, not just the flowers and color, but the difference in the textures of plants and working those into a landscape.
And you mentioned earlier that you got into engineering because of the puzzle part of it. Mm-hmm. So it sounds like that this landscaping business actually has kind of that puzzle element as well.
It does. It's putting puzzle pieces together to create, I think, a beautiful scene. And I feel like an art, because I did love art as a child too. I did all the, you know, art classes, and I had the art kits, you know, at home. And so I did love art. And, matter of fact, I remember now that I used to, when I would get frustrated in engineering school and be having a stressful time and finals or something, you know, and then I would say, you know what, all this engineering work has just taken all the creativity out of me. I don't feel like I have any creativity anymore more in the art world. But now I've been able to, you of course bring that back in with my job. So I feel like an artist on a grand scale with an entire property landscape and with living material. So that is when you first then lay the plant material out after the whole property's been prepped, and you lay the plant material out before it gets put in the ground, then you can start to see then visually what you've thought about in your mind and then put on paper, and now it's being created. You know, it's very exciting.
Well, and I would think your art is a little different than a lot of artists' art because yours grows and changes naturally. And so you have to, I would think you have to have a little bit of a vision of where it's going to be in 6 months and 3 years and 5 years, as opposed to it staying, you know, being created and this is what it looks like.
That's the real challenge, and that actually burns people out a lot, the fact that they've enjoyed it at the beginning, but plants do die for different reasons, do expire, have problems with fungus, insects, not in the right lighting conditions, or not the right drainage. And so it's very challenging, and you've got all the seasonal timing that you have to work with. We always work hard to make sure that the ground is prepared properly. It's amended properly, because that's very important, a very important thing, that the terra or the earth has to be, it has to have the nutrients, you know, that in the drainage that the plants need to survive well. And then the other thing is that, yes, you, as you said, you do have to realize what their mature growth is going to be and what the size is going to be. And it can be different based on if it's in part sun or full sun, and or whether it's going to be a property that is someone's going to maintain it where it can be pruned properly and kept in the size that it needs, or somewhere that they're not going to prune much, so you can't put a plant there that can just be let go. Mm-hmm. So it, yeah, it makes it a lot more difficult than, you know, painting on, I think, because you've got to then put this out in the real world.
Right. And somebody has to maintain it.
Right. Hopefully us.
That's right. Hopefully Soltera. So how do you, how does your spirituality find expression in this art of landscaping?
I really get to be outside every day in nature, so that I feel like I'm really enjoying and in communion with God. And I'm a Christian, and I just thank, you know, Him for everything that for leading me to this job, this having this business. Because it's just very fulfilling to be able to be outside and be with beautiful plants and create the plants. But I just love meeting new people all the time. So I get to an insight and become clients that have been clients for a really long time, you know, a little part of their family in some cases, and or friends. So it's you know, emotionally it's very fulfilling. And then just in commune with nature. And when we're in our peak season, like we are now, and we work Saturdays too, long days. And then on, you know, Sunday, I'm like, well, you know, I've not really gone to church in a while. I've just been working so much, but too tired. You know, Sunday's my only day off. And a friend of mine said, well, do you know what though? Your church is your work, being out there with nature. You know, and being mindful of that, being able to talk to God. Because a lot of Sundays, too, then what we'll do is we'll go hiking in the North Georgia Mountains to great waterfall hikes. And so, you know, that's my church a lot of times.
Well, and I can relate to that, because that outside time always fuels me up. And so sometimes if I have a limited amount of time, you know, the choice to be inside or outside, it's an easy choice to say, I'd rather be outside.
Yes, yes, yes.
So when you're working with a client, I know that there's a couple of different stages that you go through from the time somebody brings you in to say, this is my space, what do I do with it, until you've, you know, come to the point that you actually install the finished design. Can you just describe a little bit of how that process is?
Mm-hmm. Yes, so when we meet with the client, then initially, the client will have them walk us around the property, show us what areas they're interested in improving. We ask them, you know, what do you not like about it? Or is there anything you do like about it that you want to keep, or a particular plant material? We ask, you know, what colors do they like, and what do they, kind of textures of plants, do they like things to look hard, you know, like clipped hard and manicured, or do they like it more loose? Plant material, but of course, how are they going to use the space? And a lot of our clients have children, so we try to make sure we create spaces for the families to really enjoy and want to come outside and be outside, and the spaces for the children to enjoy. We have to design around dogs also.
Yeah.
And a lot of dogs in Atlanta. And so, you know, we start with them asking them all those questions to try to help them envision what they would like, or at least what things they they don't like. Some of them say, well, I know what I don't like. So, and then we go from there and take whatever we can input from what the client likes or doesn't like or wishes for. And then we also take the personality of the property. And then also keep in mind, you know, they say, well, I don't want to have to change out flowers twice a year. So I don't want a lot of flower beds, but I do want some color somewhere. So we have to try to do that in the foliage of the shrubs with color, or, you know, maybe knock out roses, which are, you know, not much fuss kind of rose that blooms a long time, or other, you know, long blooming perennials or something. So, and so we take all of those aspects and then work that into a design.
So when you get ready to do to actually create the design for a client, do you have any kind of a process or a ritual that you use to kind of connect to that creative flow to get into the space to do that?
I do. I try to sit there after I meet with the client, and then I say, well, you know, I'm going to go around, make some more notes, take some photos. And, you know, you're welcome to go on with whatever you need to do today. You know, if you have any other questions before I leave, you're welcome to come back out and talk to me. But I encourage them to then go on and do their thing. And then I walk around the property on my own and just start just trying to be open to, you know, a vision of what this could be and what could work well. And I do believe a lot of times that it's the ideas that come into my head and I'm like, wow, where'd that come from? That would be great. And I feel that God is leading me in that way and helping me figure out what would look great, you know, in my designs and the properties. And I feel like this is the gifts that He's given me, because the part of the design and learning about the plants and appreciating and noticing the details for good design seemed to come just so easy. I didn't really have to work hard, you know, or struggle to try to understand that at all. What the hard part is actually it's a business. So all the business aspects is hard and wants to take away the fun sometimes. But overall, of course, I'm still loving what I'm doing. And
so you have to work within their budget and still make enough money to be able to pay you and your employees.
That's the hard part. That's the no fun part. But yeah, but we, you know, we make it work out.
So when you get these intuitive kind of ideas, how do they show up for you? I know for some people it's like pictures, some people it's words, some people it's more of a feeling. Do you have a certain way that it usually shows up?
Yeah, I'm a very visual person, always have been. That's how I finally figured out in college after the first year there. I wish I figured it out before the first year of college, but that's how I learned. So like in engineering and math, when I had to learn a whole lot of formulas, I found out that if I write them down on a piece of paper, pretty big size, and study that paper, but the act of watching myself write it down, then I could just recall that whole sheet of paper and everything on it visually, you know, when I needed then to know it and use it or take a test. So I can, you know, see things, what a property can look like, just like it can be just a really messy property with all kinds of overgrown stuff, or it can be a blank slate and that hasn't been landscaped yet, and like a new house. And I just start visions of plants and what it could look like just start coming into my mind.
So when you're working with a client, obviously you're collaborating with them to find out what they need and what they want and what they expect and what kind of time they're willing to put into it or what kind of resources they have to maintain it. Is your creative process different when you're working in collaboration with somebody versus when you're creating something for yourself?
No, actually, I think it's about, because we treat our clients' properties as if it was our own property. And what would we put the most of the effort, you know, or what resources there are financially, what would be the biggest bang for the buck, the most mm-hmm. important thing? Because we're conscious that we have to be good stewards of that money, that we give them something, you know, that's going to give them a good investment on what they're spending on the landscape. Because again, if you don't do it right, you know, everything could just die, you know, if it's not done, pick the right plants, it's not, the soil's not prepared right, or the plants aren't installed right, and then the education, if the education is not there on how to care for it properly, the client's going to be left with, if they want to try to do it, you know, the maintenance themselves, then we put a lot of effort into educating them how to do that.
Well, and I know that Solterra has done a lot of very cool water features for mm-hmm. your clients. Can you talk a little bit about what water means to people and how that works into people's landscapes?
Some people ask for water features because they're near a street with a lot of noise. So they're looking for something that has bigger flow and big enough to sort of drown out some of that noise. Others just enjoy it. They want to have a fish pond and have some, you know, little goldfish or koi fish or something to enjoy. So they want just a nice little pond. So it's usually either they enjoy ponds and seeing the fish and raising the fish, or they want a little sound. You know, it could be a nice trickle on a deck or something bigger to drown out some street noise or something.
So I'm interested in how your art has affected your spiritual evolution, or how your spiritual evolution has affected your art, how those tie together.
I think growing up with Christian parents and knowing who God is and accepting, you know, Jesus at an early age, and that always being a big part of my life, that has opened me up to really being in spirit with nature and really appreciating it. And so I think that's helped develop me into this great interest for plants, and this finally brought me back around to doing that. The engineering, being in the corporate world, engineering world, I enjoyed it until our company got very large, and but that I learned so much in how to run a professional business and what it all takes. Unfortunately, a lot of people that start in small business, especially in landscaping business, go into it very blind, and maybe struggle a little more than we had to with getting the processes in place and what you need to be aware of to grow a business. But I had a head start with that from working in corporate America before, and in the role that I did, because I had to work with all departments of the company, and we manufactured too. So I understood about the importance of productivity and procedures and efficiency, which is all so important in our business, more than people might imagine. So I think that God has always, I've always felt like he's led me in my career, and always put, when there was a change to be made, it was always put me in front of the right people at the right time. To thrive in whatever business change that I made.
Well, and I think it's interesting that a lot of artists either do multiple things, or they've had another career and then come into art, and how that really molds where they go with their art. Mm-hmm. So I think that's interesting that you've talked about, you know, your experience in a more engineering-based corporate office and how that's helped you be a better businesswoman mm-hmm. with your own business.
Yes, absolutely.
Well, and because I know you, I know that you love to travel, and I mm-hmm. know that you've gone lots of cool places, and you always come back with lots of ideas for your clients and different ways that you can create gardens. What's been one of your favorite places to visit that you've been able to get ideas from?
Well, the first trip, of course, that we went for was in southern England. And so seeing all those gardens I've admired in books for years and years and years, and actually being there and seeing those gardens in real life. So that was very, very inspiring. And then Germany was another trip, and seeing all the beautiful window boxes with, you know, reds and blues and geraniums and all these things just spilling out of pots and window boxes. They do such a great job there. And then in my last more recent trip was Italy and Florence, and riding through the Tuscan hills was all very gorgeous, and being up in the hills above Florence and just the beautiful landscapes that driving through there. And I've always had calendars with all the pictures of places in Italy to help, you know, keep me in mind to get there. And I want to go back because I feel like I still need to see more in that area. So
how are you able to take some of those ideas that you bring back from those other countries and incorporate them into some of the work you do with your clients here in Atlanta?
Well, what's helpful is seeing different styles. So like in Italy, in a lot of the gardens, it's a little more architectural design, and then and with a lot of upright and plant material. And in England, in a lot of those, it was boxwood gardens with framed in boxwoods, and then all of these gorgeous flowering plants and perennials and roses and everything else in the middle, or lots of topiaries. So creating topiary gardens that you know, is and I saw a lot of that too in a lot of, even more of that in Italy. So kind of gives you a view of something different other than just the traditional southern landscape style that you see mostly in Atlanta. So we can do that, and if that's what the client likes, and we do a lot of that. But if they want something different, then you know I've been able to see what other types of designs and styles are, so that we can, you know, create maybe their favorite vacation spot at home.
Right, just offer them some more choices.
Mm-hmm.
So, Dixie, how do our listeners get in touch with you and find out more about Solterra?
Solterra is spelled Solterra, and our website is solterralandscape.com. And we also have a Solterra Landscape Facebook fan page, which we post a lot of photos of current and recent projects. And
you've got a couple of videos on there that were recent videos.
Yes. And we've got YouTube video for Solterra Landscape now. So if you Google Solterra Landscape, you'll come up with several links that you can go see. And you're posting on Facebook for us these wonderful nature sayings from famous people that have something to do with nature. And just it's actually, I've been getting a lot of likes and comments on those, and people just saying how it speaks to them at times.
That's great. I think everybody likes to have a little inspiration into their day. So Dixie, we've just got a couple of minutes, and I wonder if there's any last thing that you would like to say to our listeners before we go.
I just would like to say begin to enjoy outdoors. Take a look. If you're in Atlanta is a wonderful place to do that. And just be aware of more detail in the plants and the flowers and nature, and then maybe it'll speak to you too.
Appreciating the variety around us.
Yes.
Dixie, thanks so much for being with us today. If you can just tell our listeners one more time how they can get a hold of Solterra.
SolterraLandscape.com, and our number is 404-236-7557.
That's wonderful. And thank you to our listeners. I welcome your suggestions or comments on this or any of our shows. You can find links to all of our shows on Empower Radio and on our website, artasworship.net. Please come share your stories of artist worship on our Facebook page, which is facebook.com/artasworship, or suggest an artist that we should interview. Listen in next week as we talk with another artist about their creative process and how it connects with their spiritual journey. May you have an inspired and creative week. Namaste.